This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. We started off with some music from Handel's Messiah, which is one of my absolute favorites from the Christmas season. Do you know much about Handel's Messiah? It's a fascinating piece. I wanted to talk about it today, about the author, the composer, and especially about the scriptural basis for the ideas underpinning this wonderful oratorio. It's got a fascinating structure. Most of it comes from the Old Testament. A little bit of it comes from the New Testament. The main structure of it is the birth of the Messiah that has been foretold, and also about the judgment and the resurrection and the hope that it gives for all of us. The writing history of it's fascinating. We tend to give Handel the credit because it was his oratorio, but a man named Charles Jennens, who was a prosperous landowner from England, who had inherited a lot of money, wrote the words. He was very, very interested in the arts, and he collaborated with Handel many, many times. He went to Oxford, received a degree from there, so he was not just wealthy, he was a pretty smart guy as well. One of the fascinating things that he did was he actually came up with this idea of Handel's Messiah and pitched it to Handel, who readily agreed because their collaborations had done well in the past. Handel was a German composer and writer who really liked opera. But as fashion changed over time, Handel moved a little bit more towards English wording in his compositions. Handel's Messiah was completed as many, many fascinatingly inspired things are very, very quickly. The music for Handel's Messiah was completed in 24 days, which is absolutely incredible. Having received the text for the Messiah from Jennings a little bit earlier, Handel began composing the work and was just inspired. One of the most amazing things about it is that the entire score, the words and the music, was about 259 pages long. And yet, although there are a few little errors here and there, things scratched out, changed, improved upon, it was almost in final form the way it was originally composed. It's quite extraordinary. At the end of the manuscript, Handel wrote the letters SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, the glory alone to God. This inscription, taken with the speed of his composition of it, has encouraged the belief by many that Handel wrote in some kind of inspired manner. I personally believe that to be the case, although I guess that's between Handel and God. One of the things that is the most amazing to me about Handel's Messiah is how it was received. It took a little bit of warming up, although there were about 700 people for the first time that it was actually performed live and for the public. Its reception was good, but not fabulous. But from there, it slowly gained acceptance. And today, it is one of the most oft-performed, especially during the holiday season, musical tributes to Jesus as the Messiah. One of the most fascinating things also about the work for Handel's Messiah is that it was published in a way that was a bit unusual for the time. It had a guide to the music and the text, including citations to all of the scriptures. If you take a look at where Handel's Messiah came from, it is entirely scriptural. Charles Jennings, the English aristocrat who I've mentioned collaborated with Handel and wrote the text, got it all from the King James Version of the Bible. There's only a slight exception to that. He got some of the Psalms from the 1662 Book of Common Prayer, which had a little bit different texts. 81 Bible verses are included in the Messiah from 14 different books of the Bible. Of these, Isaiah is quoted the most often, 21 times. Next, the Book of Psalms, 15 verses, and then 1 Corinthians, 10 verses. It's interesting and also significant to note that all of the passages from 1 Corinthians come from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a chapter that some people like to call the resurrection chapter for obvious reasons. For the purpose of contextualization and maybe a deeper understanding of Handel's magnificent work, The Messiah, you can get, if you like, it's available online, a complete list of all of the verses that Handel used for his oratorio. And one of the things that I like to do now is go through some of those. The oratorio starts off with Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 3, which talk about comforting God's people. The actual quote is, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness prepareth the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Close quote. So there the scene is set, and then you have another quotation from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 4, that every valley will be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked made straight, rough places plain. This is a metaphor for everything is going to change when the Messiah arrives. That's what this interesting language tells us. And then the next verse, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5, tells us this, quote, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. This is talking about the time of the second coming. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it, close quote. Then you go on, and there are a few somewhat obscure, but still fairly well-known verses from the last part of the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and then Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Quote, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to the temple, even the messenger of the covenant ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. We'll be right back with more about Handel's Messiah. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today, our second segment talking about Handel's Messiah, one of the most famous and extraordinary of all Christmas music. It was written by George Frederick Handel, at least the music portion was, and the words were written by Charles Jennings. Who is Frederick Handel, who wrote the Messiah? He was a gentleman who was originally German and then became British. And Charles Jens was a British gentleman who was quite a poet and was wealthy enough so that he collaborated a lot with Handel in some of his efforts. During this segment of our program, the underpinnings scripturally of Handel's Messiah, which focuses not so much on Handel himself, but on the amazing scholarship of Charles Jennens to show through scripture alone the Messiah himself and what his calling was. When we finished up with our last segment, we had just quoted from Malachi about the Messiah and about how he was going to purify the sons of Levi. Then you go to the scriptural basis for the birth of the Messiah, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, quote, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. And then you get this chorus that comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, and then Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, that talks about the great tidings. This is the thing that was sung to the angels. "O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains, O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, and say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." And then quoting again from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 2 and 3, quote, "For behold, the darkness that shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, shall be removed, because the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." Close quote. And then you have the famous words from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, quote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace," close quote. Thus ends the prophecies of the coming, and we hear about the appearance of the angels to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, quote, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." And Luke chapter 2, verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then Luke chapter 2, verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Then Zechariah is quoted emphasizing that wonderful praise that the angels gave to the birth of the Messiah. Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10, quote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. And how will we know him? Quote, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams shall break out in the desert. Then we have some quotes from Isaiah and Matthew. Isaiah 40, verse 11, and Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29. Quote, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, for he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek, lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And from there we have some quotes about the Messiah, that he took upon himself the sins of the world, quoted from John chapter 1, verse 29. And that he was, according to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, despised and rejected of men. And from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, quote, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, quote, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Psalm chapter 22, verse 7. And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lips and shake their heads, saying, he trusted in God that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him if he will have him. And then Psalm 69, verse 20. They rebuke, thy rebuke hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. I look for some to take pity on me, but there was no man, neither found I any to comfort me, close quote, discussing how difficult it was for the Messiah until the resurrection. Psalm chapter 24, verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Let all the angels worship him. And from there, we have the conclusions where you have the Alleluia chorus that emphasize the fact that Jesus is the Savior of all mankind, and that he has broken the bands of death and given us all the opportunity to be redeemed and reconciled to God. It's a beautiful, beautiful oratorio, which closes with Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 14, that the Son of God, the Lamb of God, is worthy, and may he be given glory and power and honor forever and ever and ever. Amen. Merry Christmas to all of you. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.